Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
All right, what is up, Gypsy Gang? We are back for another episode of Supercross Companion. We missed the race on Thursday. Everyone's schedules were just kind of a little bit gnarly, so we weren't able to make the live companion happen. So to make it up to you, wanted to bring you a podcast with the Lawrence brothers. We spoke to Jet first, so this podcast that you will be listening to will feature the man himself, everybody's favorite lights rider, 16-year-old sensation Jet. Just talked through a bunch of stuff, talked through his return to racing. We talked about A2. We talked about the incident between Austin and Hunter on the weekend. Talked about shoes, Lamborghinis, and virginity being the shit. Yeah, really cool podcast.
Just got to give a big shout out to our sponsors that make this possible. We've got a really, really, really rad group of companies in the motocross industry that support the motocross side of this podcast. So thank you so much to the guys at MX Store. If you just generally follow the podcast, you'll see that we've been doing a lot more riding lately, and just the convenience of having MX Store so close to us is just insane. And I know that if you don't live in Burley like we do and can't just go into the showroom, the service that they provide with the same day shipping and all of the, I guess, the advantages of shopping with MX Store really come into play. And they're just as convenient, even if you don't live on the Gold Coast. So you can head to mxstore.com.au for all of your dirt bike needs. Next, we're brought to you by the guys at Rival Inc. Design Co. I've said it a million times. These guys are pretty much the best in the business, constantly innovating some of the best designs and mix that with the best product out there as well. Also brought to you by the legends at Fist Handwear. We get asked a bunch about our Gypsy Tales collab glove. We are doing one. We're bringing that back as soon as we can. The whole Corona thing's kind of slowed that down a little bit. But you guys already know that Sammy makes the best gloves in the world. Also brought to you by the guys at Dixon Flannel. DixonQuality.com.au is the website. They're the best quality flannels that I've ever worn. So for whatever that is worth, you can head to DixonQuality.com.au, type in the code RAMPTHIEF, and for Fist Handwear, you can go to FistHandwear.com and use the code FUCKJACE to get 20% off. Also brought to you by the guys at Thrill Seeker Collection, thrillseekercollection.com, for basically the most badass seat covers in the game. You'll see them on bikes like Tyler Berryman, Sammy Moore's got one on there, Jackson Richardson runs the Thrill Seekers, pretty much Jack Miller, pretty much everyone that I guess we're kind of in the crew with runs Thrill Seeker, and that is for a very, very good reason. Also brought to you by the guys at Maxxis Tires. Super stoked to be on board with these guys. It's cool. I feel like with tires, it's like, I just don't feel like we could get the same level of, I guess, interaction with the manufacturers with any of the other tyre brands. But with the guys at Maxxis here in Australia, it really feels like we could really work with them to do some really cool stuff. The product's great. Toddy Waters loves it. And I was going to ride it on my new Maxxis tyres this weekend, but didn't get to. I ended up riding the Suzuki instead. So very keen to get out on track. And also, we're brought to you by the guys at Motorex, basically the highest quality oils in the world. Important to know, I didn't know, but they actually do like a KTM specific oil and then a Japanese bike specific oil. So that's what I just got this week, and we'll be doing a fresh oil change in the 450, and again, stoked to be working with another great company in the motocross industry. Thanks so much, guys. I appreciate everybody for listening. From the gang called Gypsy, gang and they come and get Gypsy, gang and they come and get Gypsy, gang.
I'm at a Gypsy gang. I'm at a Gypsy. Baggett's, not Baggett, Barsha's front wheel.
Dude, right? I just saw that too before.
Holy crap.
What did he do? Did he jump into the wall?
I don't know. How could you do something like that?
It's Barsha, bro. Barsha's gonna...
Oh my gosh.
Barsha's gonna Barsha, man.
Bam, bam, the swam, boom.
Bam, bam, went boom, boom.
Yeah, that's freaking gnarly, that is. Holy crap.
All right, so Jet Lawrence is back on Gypsy Tales with the homies. How are you, the champion?
I'm not too bad myself. Just cruising in Salt Lake, yeah.
How's it actually been being out on in old Salt Lake City?
It's actually really nice. We got a little place in Deer Valley. Dude, it is so freaking nice here. We're like just near the ski lift. And dude, the weather in just the last few days, we have gone through every weather, climate, I don't know what you call it, in like just 3 days. It was raining, then it was sunshine, then it was snowing, then there was a blizzard, then there was hail, all in the one day.
Yeah, and then like sunshine and nice.
It was crazy, but dude, it's such a beautiful place. We went for a little drive around. It's so nice. Like, well, unbelievable.
That's like kind of the thing, I guess, is like you guys haven't really done that much traveling around the US yet, right?
Oh, no, not really. We've been pretty like on the clock, basically just riding or training or like traveling to races, which is, this is like one thing I'm quite like, it's pretty cool how we have like 2 weeks in the one place so we can actually go and explore around the place. So that was pretty sick.
Yeah, because generally when you're doing the Supercross thing, I mean, I've probably been to almost every major airport in America, but I definitely haven't seen all the, you know, all the cool stuff. But the race weekend, you kind of fly in Thursday and fly out Sunday night, and that's sort of about all you get to see. Yeah. You get to see your hotel, you get to see the stadium, and then maybe the closest Starbucks, and that's kind of it, right?
Yeah. I already had, like, in the first 2 days, I already had, like, two Starbucks. I found a really good, like, sandwich. It's called the Double Smoked Bacon and Cheese.
Oh, from Starbucks.
It's like the bun's like a little croissant type of thing.
Yeah.
And it's so good. Like, it's got bacon, egg, cheese. Dude, best thing ever. I normally never, like, get any food from Starbucks, just a drink. And Hunter had that. I'm like, oh, I'll get it also. Dude, so good. Like, best thing ever.
We used to run those down quite a bit over there. What's your Starbucks coffee order?
I get the biggest size and the Frappuccino mocha.
Yeah, right. You're one of those guys, eh?
Because I want it, like, the drink takes a long, like, because it's like kind of a slushy type of thing. It takes a long time to drink.
Yeah.
So, like, when it's just the liquid with the ice, dude, you drink that thing so fast. And I'm not a fan of hot drinks. So, I get the tall, I don't know what you call it, the Venti.
Yeah, I don't even think...
I don't know why...
Yeah, I don't think the names make sense, to be honest.
I don't know even why they came up with that. they're trying to be different, but really, in all honesty, it's just stupid. No one's going to try and learn that language, try and understand that. They're already there trying to get their coffee. They just want their coffee. They don't want to try and think of some other language or some crap.
Nah, I'm with you, bro. So how's the experience of kind of getting to live the outdoors and stuff there? Because everyone looks like everyone's having a pretty good time mountain biking. And have you actually got to ride that? Is it Iron Horse? What's that track that people have been riding over there? It's super gangster, dude.
Like with the lake next to it?
I'm not sure. You know the one that everyone, like JB was riding there the other day, Chad was riding there. It's kind
of
like...
Oh, with the video of Kenny? I mean, the video of Kenny of like how they have that, like, it's like an outdoor track kind of
thing. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That place looks sick.
No. We were going to ride it the first day. Like the first day we're going to ride that. But then the neighbors went and complained.
What?
I was so bummed. The neighbors complained about the noise and that stuff. Too many bikes.
Yeah, okay, I guess.
So then we had to go to that concrete of a half whack job. I'll chuck it together in an hour, supercross track.
Oh, is that the one that is near the, is like kind of in a stadium sort of type deal?
Little bit, yeah. Dude, so sketchy. The whoops, they got so rock hard that there was like a black strip.
Really?
From the tires. Yeah. Like...
Yeah, the old...
My autistic brother, Tate, could have done almost a better job.
Dude, I just don't think that they've got a lot of dirt to work with up there. Like, it's kind of... Desert soil isn't exactly... It's definitely not loam. Let's just put it that way.
Dude, up in the hill, the mountain bike track, dude, dirt is so prime. It's like... Dude, prime time. It is... It's almost like it's loam.
Really?
Dude, like, we had... Like, remember I was saying the weather so, like, changed so much? We had, like, long time rain. Like, it was raining so long. Dude, the trail still had so much grip.
Really?
Yeah. But it had mainly all trees around, so that's probably why.
Yeah, yeah. What bikes have you been riding when you mountain bike?
Intense. I got an Intense Sniper. It's like a cross country.
Yeah, right. Mountain what? Bike. Who decides that you guys have to ride the cross-country bikes, man? Because I'd be wanting more of an enduro bike. Or is it like you ride that shit on purpose so that you kind of can't send it too hard?
We ride that on purpose because, like, it's easier to go, better to go uphill.
Yeah, but you're trying to get fit, like, bro, you know? Like, let's make it hard, bro.
It sucks for downhill. But, like, Hunter and I are pretty... We're fairly skilled on a mountain bike. Like... We kind of can take our motor skills onto a mountain bike.
Yeah.
We're pretty decent. But we mainly get it because we don't go on some steep crap where if I had like an enduro bike, I'd be looping out.
Yeah, right. So, yeah. Okay, fair enough. Yeah, I never
I've
went.
I've blown some.
What's that?
I've blown some shocks and forks out on the Sniper though.
Yeah, I mean, there's just not enough travel for how fast you guys be hitting shit, I'm pretty sure.
I've blown a shock. I went and got it fit. They went and got it fixed. Second time riding, I blew it again.
Really?
Yeah.
Just sending it, boy.
Yeah, I was. I've been riding a little lighter now. I've been pretty harsh on the thing, so I'm like, I'm just gonna take it easy now.
Yeah, makes sense, dude. So how was it to be back at the races, man? Was it different now being? Because I feel like. Jet Lawrence before A2 is like a totally different, you've got a totally different name and a totally different kind of deal within the sport now. Like you kind of became.
Yeah, I went from the rookie to the kid who went over the bars and had a up ramp for dinner.
But people, you're pretty much like a Quentin Tarantino movie now. Like people love you like they like Quentin Tarantino movies. It's like they know they're gonna get some crazy shit when they watch you.
Oh, dude. Have you watched the race yet?
From yesterday?
Yeah.
Yeah, where you fucking threw it away in fifth. That one? Was that the race you're talking about? What happened there? Because it was in the whoops, right?
I just want to go and beat the crap out of those whoops right now. So annoying. Dude, that was sketchy. That was
really?
Gnarly. I came into them, and I my front wheel hit an edge, and like my front wheel always hits an edge, and you're like, oh, it's gonna be no biggie, it's fine. I hit it, my bike went left, I went right, I was still holding on, then my rear end hit the kicker, the edge, flicked it around sideways, I hit the face of the whoop on literally sideways and went yup.
Dude, off so to the right. It was a, so it was like a pretty big one then?
I got pretty lucky. I only scraped up my shoulder.
Yeah, right.
And bruised my leg. But besides that, I was pretty fine. I got winded a little bit because, like, my chest, like, skimmed the top of the whoop.
Yeah, yeah. And but then...
It was so fairly big.
Your, when you crashed in the heat race, man, like, fuck that. The way that... I feel like you're doing something different when you are entering whoops. Like, you seem to carry a lot more speed than the other dudes. Like, are you missing a couple with your front wheel, or are you putting your front wheel down earlier? Like, what are you actually doing different? Because there's definitely a different entry speed that you got. Or is that some secret shit? What? You're putting it down on the fifth whoop. Fuck off.
Fifth gear, baby.
Oh, fifth gear. Are you serious?
But one thing, it's
dude, that's like almost like too fast, right?
You never go too fast in whoops.
You're a fucking psycho. I love it.
It sucks because in these you had a run up for it, which I'm not as good as that. Like, I'm not as confident coming in with that. Cause people can come in with so much speed.
Yeah,
where I get all of my speed in the whoops, which not many other 250 riders can do.
Yeah,
see, I in the little 5 month off break, I've been kind of working on going third in the turn, coming out off the starter whoop, fourth.
Yeah,
hit the first one, then fifth.
Fuck then that! Skid. That's silly, bro. I mean, it's fast, but it sounds silly. Oh, you back, mate? Jet Lawrence. Oh, thanks. Thanks for joining us. G'day, mate.
What happened?
I don't know. Where'd you go? Did you run out of data, bro? Nah, you're on that boost program too. You're like me. You never run out of data.
My iPad's on 4%.
Is that where you're on now?
I'm on Wi-Fi, so I shouldn't be a problem.
Are you... you want to plug that bad boy in or what?
Yeah, it's plugged in.
Oh, okay. It's on. Okay.
I'm already ahead of the game. Come on.
Oh, sweet, but I shouldn't have doubted you. Sorry, mate. Yeah, so we were talking about fifth gear through the whoop. So you're changing gears. So third through the turn, fourth as you hit the whoops, and then when are you clicking fifth?
I go off starter whoop, fourth, hit the first one, then fifth, which no one else does that because it's so sketchy because you could hit a false neutral.
Yes, or you miss could.
Your shift.
Yes, you could. But you don't seem to give a fuck.
Nope. Dude, what's life without living on the edge?
What's life without fifth gear whoops, bro?
Yeah.
So dude. When was this decided? Well, actually, where are you putting your front wheel down?
I like to, a lot of guys like kind of wheel tap the first one.
Yeah.
Well, I like jumping into it because I can kind of like hop and hit the first one and get the bike already leveled.
So, is your front tire hitting the first whoop, or are you missing that first one?
No, I hit the first one.
Okay, cool. Yeah, because I remember there was one day at the test track where I was filming Dunge with like the crazy slow motion camera, like side on, and he wasn't putting his front wheel down to the third whoop. So he was going up, like sort of wheeling into it, touching the front tire on the third whoop, and then the rear tire would hit the third whoop. So he was missing the first two whoops altogether. I guess technically he was missing the second whoop altogether. And I was wondering whether you were...
I was doing that at...
Hey, I figured it out. There was a problem on my end. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I fixed it now, though.
My iPad was about to go for a trip.
Nah. That was all me. So what were you saying? So where were you doing that? Like, I was just saying the Dunge thing where he was putting his front wheel down.
A2, you know the first set of whoops after the big triple?
Yep.
There, it went the starter whoop, and the first whoop was like a wall. So you're going into it like this, and the one after was smaller.
Yeah.
So I was going wheel tap, and then putting my front wheel on the third.
Yeah, right.
So it was pretty sick.
So
but
where
then in the
main, obviously. Well, so like let's talk about A2 actually, because I haven't really spoke to you that much since that night. What was the headspace that you're in? Because we spoke before. I mean, I don't know which race it was, but I was just sort of remember saying
after St. Louis.
Yeah. Okay. I remember just saying to you that like you've got a lot of time. Like if you won a race at 17 as opposed to 16, like I pretty much said to you, like if I told you when you were 8 years old at Coolum on an 80 that you'd win your first Supercross at 17, like you'd probably be pretty stoked, right? And then it was like, well, just don't stress on winning this year. Don't get hurt. Don't stress on winning this year. And then I would guarantee that you could win at 17 as opposed to 16, and it'd still be pretty fucking gangster. Yeah. Just don't get hurt. And then and then the next week was A2. And then, but I mean, in my head with the whole A2 thing, like obviously you fucking crashed, you busted yourself up a little bit, but I seriously, yeah, like yeah. You became a Quentin Tarantino film. You became like a cult classic that every single person now wants to watch. Like
I freaking turned into a vegetable.
Well, you did to yourself. I'd say a pretzel more than a vegetable.
Yeah, I turned into a freaking pretzel, vegetable when I hit that thing, dude.
Your head turned into a potato and then your body turned into a pretzel.
Yeah. Dude, I got like a good like hook and then uppercut, because when I hit the face, it knocked me and then the back tire went cluck.
Yeah, well, but I mean, what was going through your head that race? Like, were you just having fun to be in the battle the way that you were? Because, man, I don't remember a time where somebody sent it that fucking hard to win a lights main event.
Well, yeah, I guess I was in it. I was just like, yeah, yes, sir. About to get this win.
I
was pretty calm. I was having fun. Like I was feeling good. I was not even tired. Like even after my crash, I'm like, I'm still good. I still got this. Like after I came around, seeing I was still in P1, I'm like, I got this. Let's go. But then I ended up making a few stupid mistakes, and what's name got me back, Ferendez, and then I came off the inside before the whoops. I was like, and then going into it, so I'm like, yes, sir. And then I hit the last swoop and went like this. I'm like, no, sir.
Nope. Oh, <psh.
laughs> Yeah.
Could you
turn myself into a vegetable?
Could you have imagined the kind of reaction that it got, though, with fans and how viral that went? And especially, like, not to mention, bro, before that, you've got the Ferrandis Craig move. Like, that was just pretty much the craziest. And I mean, did you see us, like, our reaction to it when we were doing Supercross Companion? Because he had, like, Behrman and Big, like, that was...
Yeah, I seen that.
To me, I was so glad that we captured that, because that was the most, like, I feel like that was crazy, every crazy. Single... But that was, like, every Supercross fan in the world was, like, cheering you on to win that race. Like, was it... Is it crazy to think what sort of happened after that and the fan reaction to it and the industry? Like, you got Ricardo sending you voice messages and stuff.
Yeah. Dude, I was like, I couldn't believe it. Like, dude, when I actually started breathing again and hopped up, I couldn't really hear it all. Like, the only things I could hear was like when a guy had to yell in my ear, like, are you okay? I'm like, do I look like I'm freaking okay?
Yeah.
But I didn't hear anything when I was getting taken out in the mule. I think I kind of heard a cheering and I waved, but like I didn't really hear how loud the crowd was actually until like my dad, Johnny, and some of my mates said how loud it was.
Yeah,
when I got back up or when I crashed. They said when I crashed, it just went silent.
Have you rewatched the race since on like TV?
I have a few times, But as soon as I get to that point, I want to throw my phone through the wall.
Yeah, pretty much, eh? But I mean, yeah. And so then what about like the reaction of fans after it? And like, you know, did you kind of ever anticipate that crashing out of a main event could get you so much attention?
No. Like, I thought I was just going to be like maybe like the other rookies that just go and crash their brains out and just be like kind of forgotten. Yeah. But I ended up being like, I guess because I didn't back down.
Yeah.
I didn't take no crap really. I was going to give it back to him. But I was like, before that weekend, I was said to, I made like a deal with my brother and my dad and Mert. So I said, after this weekend, I bet you I'm going to make it to, I bet you I'm going to be at 100K.
Oh, on Instagram?
Because I was at 93 and Hunter was at 94 or 5. Yeah. And
what are you at now?
I'm at 190.
What?
Yeah, I just clicked 190 today.
So that's fifth gear in the whoops.
yeah. I went from 93,000 followers in from my crash to 12 o'clock. I was already at 105,000.
Really?
Which yeah. That was like 3 hours.
Yeah, that's what I mean, man. Like, just because, you know why, bro? People don't fucking send it the way that you sent it. Like, that shit doesn't really exist that much anymore. Yeah. The way the way that you did it.
Like, I only think there's only a few people that are like ride or die. Like Ferendez, he's a like, I'm going to do whatever it takes to win.
Yeah.
Like, whatever it takes, like taking out Craig or what he did to so-and-so. Like, he's here to win.
Yeah.
I'm here to do the same thing. Like, I probably should have taken second. I'm a dumbass for not doing that. But, dude, in all realistic, if as a motocrosser, if you're that close to someone, as if you're going to go, I'm just going to take it slow through these loops and just get second.
No, dude, 100%. But I mean, the thing is though, nowadays that kind of is what people do. And that's why, I think that's why you would just, I mean, you've got the whole package. Like, I don't think we've seen somebody like you since Chad, really. And I mean, Chad had a different, I guess it's like a different vibe, you know, like everyone wants to cheer for you for, I think, different reasons. I think that Chad was always super down to play like the badass kind of guy and he was down to not really talk to the media, not really do his thing. And like, he just was like, win, 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 win. And that was rad, you know, but like,
that was cool.
He had that same mentality that you do. And I don't think that we've seen that kind of, I guess, just like fucking gnarliness, just like straight balls to the wall. Like, I just want to win and fuck it. And it's like, it's just cool that it can kind of pay off the way that it did for you, in that you crashed your brains out pretty much, got literally fucking last and still went up, you know.
No, I still got nine.
Oh, you got ninth. Okay, so you still got. You got a top 10.
I lapped up 10th.
You got
a top 10.
Yeah, you got a top 10.
It's mint. My first race, I got ninth place, and then the third round, I got ninth place without even finishing.
You went up the most followers ever for a ninth place finish. That's the record. You actually got a record that night.
I still can't get a blue tick.
Oh, you haven't got that blue check mark yet.
Dude, they hate us. They hate the Lawrences.
What? So, dude, Hunter's not either.
Whenever I post something, they just full dog me.
Views. Why is that? What you thinking here, mate? Come on. What you thinking? Talk to me, mate.
I'm going to tell the truth here right now. Like, I think they're thinking that I'm doing a promotion or something,
thing.
And so then they don't let it get out to as many people. So where normally, like, if I put a riding video, that would get 100,000 views.
Yeah, yeah.
But when I did that, when I do the Moto Spy thing, I only got 20,000.
Yeah, okay.
Straight stitched me up.
Yeah, it's just that algorithm straight stuff, bro.
The algorithm is dogging me. And dude, I've went and requested that super blue tick like everyone else. No, nothing. Mertz even tried getting it. No. He even went to like the NFL, like the top of the Wasserman crew, like with yeah. NFL people. Yeah. Still couldn't get it. It's like
it's really you, bro.
People out there with like only
it's really
and
you.
And Hunter can't either. Like, dude, there's a ton of people out there with 2,000 followers and has a blue tick. It's like,
what do you want that blue tick for, bro? Is it straight like a chick thing? Like, you want to be able to slide into the DMs? Because, I mean, that's where I'm at with it.
Straight into the DMs.
Yeah, I mean, that's where I'm at with it. Oh, that's awesome. What else changed after A2 for you?
Nothing much, really. I was still pissed about it, but I just felt like I feel like I'm stronger, and I'm way faster than then.
Than what?
From A2.
Oh, like, yeah.
I've got another step of speed.
Really?
But, yeah, but one thing is I need support.
In what way?
Like, if you watch the qualies and see some of the ruts I hit, like, I hit them pretty freaking fast. Like, I'm not being cocky.
The turn, but you know where you were really fucking railing shit was the turn before the whoops this weekend. I was just like, you hit it. Maybe it was in the heat race next to Faulkner, one lap, and I was just like, what the fuck? Like, you actually made Faulkner look slow through that turn. I was just like, dude, what is he doing?
Hey, did you get to? I don't know if they showed it, but after the whole Hunter and Faulkner thing,
yeah,
a few laps later, I was behind Faulkner, and we were both going for a hot lap, and we went over the finish line. I was behind him. I was like a little bit back. I pulled him in through the whoops, and went. I was on the right side of him. I went squared it up out, and was going down the rhythm lane next to him. And, like, I hit the triple. And, like, you know how you do the tabletop to single before the
yeah,
end?
Yeah, yeah.
I, like, went and jumped out, like, pushed him out wide and went passed him on his hot lap.
Really?
Yeah, I thought it would be pretty funny because Hunter goes and basically turns him into a vegetable.
Yeah.
And then I go and blitz past him on his hot lap.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of one of those things, like, there's two of you motherfuckers out there now. Like, the Lawrence boys ain't nothing to fuck with, boy.
Mm. Well, dude, I was so annoyed because I was going to mess with them also because I seen Hunter and them down, and I was going across the star straight when that, and Hunter was turned talking to him. And in my helmet, I'm like, ooh, someone better get knocked out.
Oh, that's
but,
sick.
But nothing happened. So then they both, and Hunter took off first and Faulkner was behind him. And when you go off the whoops, they stop you before you get back on. And this guy stopped Hunter, and I went off behind him. I was hoping they were going to stop Faulkner because I was going to rear-end him, like bump him. Just because he was in a Lawrence, like
the Lawrence
family sandwich.
Yeah.
Like, it was Hunter in front and then me right behind him. So I was going to bump him and, like, make do something. But old mate stopped Hunter, but he went and dumped the clutch and went past like a total spaz, like an idiot.
Where do you know, like, why that happened the way that it did? Like, is there any kind of backstory to it, or is it just because I feel like Austin's kind of the new Barsher of the lights class, pretty much?
He doesn't take many people out. He's just a
he just seems like
crash hot kind of thing.
Yeah, and so was there any like backstory to what happened the other day, or like, has it been coming, or is it?
Hunter was on a hot lap, and he was on a hot lap, and it wasn't like Faulkner was there on the whole lap. Like, it wasn't like Hunter was holding him up at all. And Hunter made a little mistake just before the finish line, and he got on his back wheel, but it might have cost him a tenth.
Mm.
A tenth, and he goes over the finish line, does a big head thing, and then he goes, like you've probably seen the video, goes and cuts him off.
Yeah.
Like, and you know Hunter, he ain't gonna.
Yeah, he's like, whatever, bro. Yeah.
He's more gnarly than me. Like, I'll just go and prove it in a race or something where he would go like, he would go and fight the dude.
Yeah, like, that's sick.
he's more badass than me. But, yeah. But it's good. Like, everyone's loving it. Because like he thinks he can get away with it. But welcome not when to Australia, mate.
Not when there's two of you boys as well.
Yeah.
And where are you?
There's one thing. It was like when you play with lightning, you get the thunder from down under, one guy said.
That's so
pretty cool.
Sick.
It was pretty funny.
And so where are you at with Ferrandis? Like, because you guys seem pretty cool, right? And I mean, even though Ferrandis, I think he gets such a bad rap, dude. Like, he's actually a fucking cool ass dude. And the Ryan Walters made that. Did you watch his monster edit that Walters made?
Yeah, I had a look at it.
And it's like, what he says is so true, man. He basically just says, dude, I left my whole family, my whole country, my whole everything. And it's like, what? I'm not supposed to try and win? Like, I feel like that's kind of hard to argue with, right?
Yeah. Dude, we were there. We seen his house. And, like, it wasn't the nicest thing. Like, I'm pretty sure there's holes in the roof.
Like a Ferrandis' house in Europe.
And, yeah. So, dude, we're exactly the same. We came from nothing. So, as if we're going to try and, as if we're like, oh, we finally get into America and now we're just going to back off. Oh, we made it to here. We're not going to try and win. No. Of course we're going to try and win. We sacrificed so much. Like, Dylan, our family, I think has sacrificed so much more than everyone else thinks.
Hmm.
Like, it's crazy what we've had to go through. Like, and I was a kid in Europe, so I didn't pick up on much of it. But then, like, once we were here and mum and dad kind of explained about it, it opened my eyes and we're like, crap. Like, in Australia, we were eating, like, 2-minute noodles.
Mm. But dude, I remember you guys, man. Like, it was just always every time you went to Coolum, the Lawrence brothers were there. And, like, I just remember you boys just absolutely living it. Like, every single race, every single Aussies, every single thing that could be done to ride, you guys were doing it. It was never in the nicest vans. And, like, it was never in the nicest gear, the nicest bikes.
Like, Hunter's first gear was secondhand Hot Wheel gear.
Yeah.
That didn't actually fit him right.
Yeah, but I mean, that's the stuff, dude, that makes, like, the best stories, bro.
Yeah, and dude, like, there's other kids that had the same opportunity. Like, we were at the same kids, like, they were my age at Mossy schools.
Mm.
But my dad took the information in and made sure we did that when we were out at the Mossy training school and stuff. So, like, We everything that we got told and learnt, we kept it in the back of our head. We made sure we learnt and made that like second habit or first habit type of thing. Like,
yeah, when you're riding these days, how much are you thinking about technique when you ride, or are you pretty much like kind of done with that and you're just sort of, you've got your style, you've got your shit? Or when you're, like you said, you just got faster between A2 and now, are you still actively working on technique when you ride and stuff? Because I've been doing some stuff with Townley with just my own riding, and now, like, I've pretty much given up on trying to ride fast. I'm just trying to do technique right the way that Ben has told me to do it, and man, I'm getting so much faster. I mean, obviously keep in perspective what fast means to me compared to you guys, but like, to me, like, it's been such a fun deal to really focus in on technique and really see the way that you can get faster. Like, are you guys actually, because I think you've probably got the coolest style going right now. But I think that in terms of, if you look at a technical rider on a bike, dude, Hunter's a fucking G, man. Like, his technique just seems so good all the time.
He's so perfect on a motorcycle where it sometimes hinders him.
Yeah. I think, yeah. How you say it. Yeah. You got it. Nailed it.
But like you said, like, we learned our skill and technique at when we were young.
Yeah.
Because... how could you explain it? Like, I don't know if this makes sense, but like, say if you're on a bicycle that doesn't have foot pegs, or I don't know,
yeah,
and you try and ride it, of course you're gonna be a little sketchy. Where if you have foot pegs, which makes the whole thing, of course you can go faster.
Yeah. Like, yeah. So to you, technique is just. So to you, technique is just as essential as, like, foot pegs on a bike.
Basically.
And so, like, are you, when you're trying to get faster, even as a pro, like, you're one of the fastest dudes in the world now, are you still actively thinking about technique when you ride these days?
Dude, you got, like, I'm always refining everything I do.
Yeah. So what's an example right now of, like, a piece of technique that you're working on?
Consistency.
Yeah, that's true.
I can chuck a, like, heater lap, but can do a fast lap, and I'll do, like, a slow lap where I'm, like, a second off, which at this level,
yeah,
I don't need. Like, yeah, at the, like, I've worked on that for, like, the past, like, 3 months, I think it is.
Yeah.
Of when I was riding, and in the main event, I had, like, first I was kind of slow, but once we, like, kind of all got settled in, I was 47 something, like all 47s until I crashed.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, I was still consistent because I went 49 consistently, like, but.
And so what is
consistency?
And so what are you thinking? Like, what's in your head when you are trying to be consistent? Like, what are you sort of telling yourself, or what are you thinking of that?
Just,
like,
hit your marks.
Yeah.
Just hit your marks. And, dude, once you get a flow, dude, you don't even, like, you barely even tense the bike.
Mm.
Like, if you actually felt, like, if there was, I don't know if there is a thing, like a squeeze monitor or something on my grips,
mm,
I'm not even squeezing that hard when I have such a good flow.
Mm.
Like, A2, I had such a good flow. So I was like, I was barely even holding the bike.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense. Because that's been, like, one of the things with the Townley has been, because, I mean, I don't think people just understand what technique can do for you in like, yeah, in terms of actually practicing technique. And it's not, I mean, I've rode bikes my whole life, dude, and, like, yeah, you do mossy schools and shit, but then you just, all I've ever done my whole life when I rode was just try and ride fast. And now,
yeah,
like, my thing that I sort of really got from Ben was basically, like, chin over the bar pad at all times. Like, you kind of have to.
It's crazy how basic it is. It's so basic, but it can take you so far.
Mm.
It's just basic things like elbows up, make sure you're on the balls of your feet, make sure you're gripping the bike. Like, it's so simple, but like I said, it could take you so far,
yeah,
in your career and speed.
One of the things that I'm still trying to figure out, or, like, I feel like I'm doing it, but when I watch videos of myself, I'm not. Is, like, I really wish I could be cool with, like, the bars coming all the way to my chest. Like, when I watch you boys ride, and I watch the way that, like, you, Craig, Sexton, all of you guys, it's like your head is directly over the handlebars, and then the bike is just coming into your chest. It's like, and I think that that's why you can say that you don't feel anything in your grips, because if you're gripping too tight, you actually, like, can't let, like, the bike won't come in that far.
Yeah.
And, like, is that something?
Like, that's why I've never, ever have had arm pump in my life. Same with Hunter. Not once.
Yeah.
Like, because we don't grip it so damn hard.
Yeah.
And people who ride like this, like, let's say Faulkner.
Yeah.
With chicken wings. He probably gets arm pumped, because when you think about it, when you try, you have to squeeze your wrist so hard because you're like this when you land a jump.
Yeah.
Where if you're, like, straight, because when you get to punch someone, you get to punch them, like, flat. Like, wrist is flat. If you punch them like this, you're going to freaking snap your wrist.
Yeah.
This is, like, it's almost common sense.
And so with that, like with the way that you guys are able to get your chest over the bars and or like have the bike kind of come, because it's like the bar pads, it looks like the bar pads pretty much like always going to hit you guys in the chest. Every up ramp, bumps, coming out of turns, like that, it just seems like it's always there. Like, what are you, I don't know, are you thinking about that stuff?
Well, if we don't time it right, yeah, we'll hit. But like sometimes we time it so good that like it will just like skim it. Like sometimes I can feel it hit my jersey.
Yeah, right. And so what
like, it
like
just skim it, but
and how do you sort on. Of make that happen? Because like I'm just for me, right, and like I'm still kind of far away from that happening. So what's like the advice for people to try and get that same effect? Because I feel like that's one of the keys to like being able to go, because it seems like that lets you guys go through rough shit way more. I think we've lost Jet again. Fuck. My shit's good. I bet his iPad went flat. Fuck, it's cool shit, eh?
Yeah, oh, it's sick. I can't, I thought you said it was plugged in.
Yeah, I know. Fucking cute.
Are you going to get Hunter as well?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll try to do like an hour with Jet and then an hour with Hunter, and I'll post them as two separate ones.
My phone went, my iPad went flat, sorry.
I thought that had happened. Turn that sideways, yeah. Yeah, so you were literally about to probably drop some knowledge on me. So yeah, what's the key to like having that, like to let the bars come into your chest that much?
I think first of all, it's just like obviously get the skill to do it, and then balance. Balance is really key with...
And so what helps you with that, you reckon?
Mountain biking. Like, I got most of my balance of just playing on my mountain bike. Like, wheelie stoppies. Just playing around. Like, you don't really think it's helping you, but, like, dude, it takes you so far just playing around doing that stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And so you think that sometimes Hunter's, like, too focused on technique and too perfect, or...?
Yeah, because, like, sometimes he wants to do a perfect... turn so perfect, and if he doesn't, he'll be frustrated about that turn and then mess up, and then he's focusing on the turn that he just went round, and then he starts messing up the other turns and not focusing on the other turns that are coming up, where I'm like, I'll hit the berm, if I have a leg dragging out, I have a leg dragging out, I'll still make it work.
Yeah, so you're not like, you're not sweating the details as much as maybe he is at times.
No. Like, dude, I'm like, if you watch me on a practice track on a practice day, I have heaps of moments, but I have moments where I'm like coming out of the turn because I'm like so much on the edge, where I'm like I have a leg dragging or
yeah,
I have a, like just anything. I have a sketchy moment in the whoops. I have a panic rev in the middle of a rhythm lane. Like, I have heaps of things like that. Like, everyone, no one's perfect.
Yeah,
I'm obviously trying to refine that to be kind of perfect and not make many mistakes, but yeah.
So what are you sort of thinking for the rest of this championship, because you've only got a couple sort of rounds to go now? Like, do you have any sort of personal goals that you want to hit, or are you just sort of keen to get the outdoors and just keep building, or
win?
You want to have a win
or poke?
Oh, you haven't even really been, you haven't even been on the box yet, have you?
I had one chance at St. Louis, and I decided to give it to Brandon Hancroft.
Ah, oh, he's a nice dude, though. You're a nice guy.
Yeah.
I feel like that check probably looked better in your bank account than his, though, right?
Always.
Are you allowed to spend any of your money yet, or what?
I love my shoes.
Yeah. Okay.
I spend a little money on my shoes, you know, but I'm saving up now because the next step in my life is to buy a house.
Yeah, fair enough.
So I'm going to do that. And then after that, my next goal is to get a Lamborghini Huracan.
The old Huracan. You know what?
But I'm going to be smart with this.
I don't... Wait, man. I'm just going to tell you real... I'm just going to tell you real quick. There's no fucking smart way to buy a Lamborghini Huracan. If you buy a Lamborghini Huracan, you've just pretty much like, you know, like a good saying. I mean, you got good people around you. If you can't afford to buy two, don't buy one.
Yeah. But see, it's fucking my plan though.
Yeah, right. I want to hear it.
When everyone, when people go to buy cars, they always want to buy a brand new one.
Mm.
It's like, what's the need? If you buy a brand new one and you want to sell it in a year or so, as soon as you take it off the mark, like off out of that dealership, dude, that thing drops like 40% off the price.
Mm.
See, where if I get a secondhand Lamborghini Huracan, which I found one for $149,000.
I found one. He's already looking.
I still got 2 years probably till, but I'm already looking. And then I could have it for a year or so, get my enjoyment out of it. And then I could only, might only take 10% off that, or depends how many miles I put on it. Like, see, the guy already bought that brand new, dude.
He was the kook.
Stupid. I'm getting stonks on that thing.
Is it weird that you can't legally have sex in America?
I actually haven't thought of that.
You know, because you know the legal age is 18 there, right?
They have a legal age for that?
The legal age to have sex in America is 18 and you are 16.
I thought it was only like you're not allowed to have like sex at someone's 18, like 19, someone's underage. I thought that, that was illegal, but
no,
I
bro.
Didn't know that was actually.
If you fucking, you're in trouble. Anyone... You're in trouble, bro.
I don't think anyone really obeys it anyways, but...
Yeah, I don't think so either, mate.
I've still got my V card, though.
Oh, you honestly. Do you?
What? I haven't had time for that. I'm Are you dead honest, I still got it.
You still got your V plates?
Yep. I haven't had time for it, dude. I've
been
so focused in moto that, like, I haven't even focused on girls, really.
That's... I can tell you, as a guy that lived in America in my 20s and wasted so much time banging chicks, like, I wasted so much time on girls in America. And you know what I did? Went back to Australia with no fucking girls.
Oh.
No, telling you, bro, that's the move. You know what? I actually think that the V-plates makes your stock go up. Not even joking.
Well, at the end of, like, at my level now, I feel like most of them, I'm not 100% sure, that there are, like, good girls out there, but some of them, probably, like, if I didn't do motocross, dude, they wouldn't even know who I am.
Yeah, you're goofy like, as fuck.
They look at me and go, who the hell is this weirdo?
You got your own swag going on.
Like, you don't know if it's someone that actually likes you, or likes you for what you do.
Man, I'll just give you a rule of thumb, bro. If you meet a chick in the pits, she does not like you for you. Nah, I mean, there is some that's out there, but I mean, I don't want to go into it on here as such, but I mean, I'm pretty sure you would know of girls that are engaged to current riders in the 450 class that were previously with other riders in the, like, you know what I'm saying? So I think that, yeah, there's definitely a trend. And I personally, if I was a young Jet Lawrence, I would look at that and probably try to avoid those same kind of deals.
That's why I'm not really messing with any of, like, I don't really want to mess with any of the moto girls type of thing.
You know what, mate? I'm proud of you. I'm quite proud of you. It's a very hard... It's honestly...
I've had this talk with Johnny and my dad, like, and Hunter. Mm. He's got a girlfriend, so he knows what it's all about.
I was going to say, you probably just seen all the bullshit. You're like, fuck, I don't want to go through that yet.
I had my first experience in Germany of my first party. And you'd think, because I'm such a fun guy and cool guy, that I'd love parties. I absolutely hated it. I wanted to leave it, like, in the first 10 minutes.
So what set the scene for us? Paint the picture of this party in Germany, because Euro parties are pretty dope. Paint the picture.
It was for, like, a birthday party, like, type of thing.
Oh,
they had a stripper there.
Fuck yeah. Not mad at it so far.
Which already started off bad because when the stripper came out, I was so focused on my phone. I was playing a game and she ended up throwing like something. She ended up rousing at me in German.
Which is kind of an angry sounding. It's like an angry sounding language anyway, even when they're not mad at you.
Yeah. So she ended up throwing something at me. I don't know what it was. I don't want to know what it was because I was playing my phone and apparently not watching her, which I didn't really give a crap at all.
Yeah.
She yelled at me. And I'm like, what? And then I end up going back on my phone again. And then at the end of the night, there's this girl bawling, like basically bawling her tears out. I'm going, what the hell is going on here? Apparently some guy leaked her, was showing other guys her private photos that she sent to him. And she's crying about it. And then typical me, I was 14, smart ass. I go, well, you shouldn't have sent him out in the first place. And she just looks, she's there. And I was in the like behind someone and I said that. And she just looks at me this like,
from a 14-year-old kid. She's like, what do you know, mate?
She was like, I think she was 16 or something. And I'm like, just tell them the truth, sorry. Truth hurts. But, yeah, I ended up hating it.
Yeah, I mean, dude, you can look through... call any writer that literally, like, basically lost their career to partying. There's so many guys that you could literally get their number and call them and be like, is it worth partying when I'm 16 and getting all this money and chicks want to fuck finally? And is it worth it? Is it long-term the move? And I guarantee that not one of those dudes would say, yeah, bro, partying's sick. Because like you can...
Yeah,
I'm 32, bro. I could party right now. Like by 32, can you imagine how much shit you could have won and like the position that you could sort of put yourself in life versus, yeah. I mean, you start all that shit now, dude, and it's just like, man, you cap yourself so much. Like it's a short career and you want to do.
Yeah.
And I suppose too, like you look at all the guys that have done well. Dunge, never partied. Villopoto, never partied. Carmichael, never partied. It's like, it's not a secret formula, man, but it's so hard when you've got the girls that are around the scene. Like, they're good-looking girls, dude. Like, it is hard to say no to that stuff, especially when it comes so easy. But it's like, I don't know, man. You could, like I said, you can look at all the guys that sort of did it and where they're at now, and I'm sure if they were all being honest with you, what they actually would say if they got the chance to do it all again, and I'm pretty sure that partying is probably not on that list. And also, to be honest, buying Hurricane's probably not on that list either.
Yeah, it's not like I'm dying at age 30. Like, dude, I'm not going to race all my life, so I got to like maybe 27, 28 until I retire or whatever. And then after that, dude, I can go party, which I think I probably won't because I'm a typical Australian. I like get-togethers, a good barbecue, you know, bonfire. I'm that type of person. So, and like, dude, I think I'm so into like riding bikes. Like, dude, I bring a skateboard with me. Like, I'm so into so many things.
Yeah.
I still feel like once I retire, I still won't even be messing with that thing. So I know it's just like, it's not a must have.
Yeah.
Like, so I'll probably still doing riding, just maybe doing what Tyler Beerman or Twitches, the grandpa, like.
Yeah.
I'll be still doing stuff. So I still think I won't have time for that. And during my career, it's not, like I said, it's not a must-have, not a must-need to do.
Yeah, I'm stoked for you. That's really cool to hear, man. It's very, very, very hard. And I'll be honest with you, it will get harder as you get older because there'll be more people and, yeah, it's sort of, it definitely gets harder. But I think one of the cool things, like, dude, Myrtle's a fucking G. He's been around this sport for so long. Your brother's such a good example for you. You come from such a good family. I don't think it's exactly going to be a worry for you, but it's really cool to hear you're in that headspace, you know. And because so many people, man, it's just like once you get to the dance, people like to party, you know. and you're at the dance now.
Yeah. Like, dude, just imagine, like, hearing that your career got messed over because of a girl.
It's happened.
I would be so disappointed. I would feel so crap that all of, like, my family has gone through to give me this opportunity to what I am at now and then go and waste it. I feel like I would want to put a gun to my head.
Yeah,
like, that's how crap I would feel.
The good thing, though, too, with you guys, man, is your family's still so close. Like, I don't know if you've heard the stories of families that were in the sport from, like, really good guys that just got ripped apart once that all the pro contracts started coming in and the money. And I don't think the money's as crazy these days as what it was back then, though. But, I mean, there's so many people where, dude, even just, like, their families just get ripped apart when they turn pro. Like, it's so rad the fact that you guys are still so close the way that you are. But I feel like that might even be like an Aussie thing too, though, you know, like, because I mean, I'm in my 30s and I still spend New Year's riding with my brother and my family, like, camping, you know.
Yeah, like, that's one thing. Like, yeah, I'm still pretty good. Like, I'm close with my brother Hunter. Like, we get along, like, really well. My dad, and I think it's the, like, in all honesty, the one person that's going to tell you that you're riding crap is your dad.
Yeah.
Like, the only one, dude, you'll come in feeling great. He'll go and say to your face, going, you went out there and rode like crap. Like,
yeah.
You rode like a goon. So that's one thing. I feel like the teams have screwed them over with saying, like, oh, he's telling you different, blah, blah, blah. Like, and I feel like that's what made them distance.
Yeah.
And all, like, who knows, like, there's no one else that knows you better than your mom and dad.
Oh, 100%.
Like, and you can't, like, you say if you met someone at, like, 20 or something, you can't know that person like their parents do. They've been with you for your whole life. Like, So I feel like Hunter and I, we're always going to have our dad in our corner, because he knows he knows what's best for us, and he's going to tell us the truth. Same with Johnny. Same, like, with our mum and all of that. Johnny's real honest with us also. Like, he's only known us for so long, and he's starting to get to know us. But, dude, he'll tell us the truth.
Yeah.
Like, he'll tell us, before, dude, you're riding crap.
Yeah, well, and I mean, he's worked with enough people to know as well, right?
Yeah. Like, and he tells us he did the same to Ricky. Dude.
Yeah.
How many times has he won, dude? Of course you're going to, like, if you don't listen to someone, like, but then again, it goes back. If you could get the best, you can get Ryan Dungey, Ricky Carmichael, James Stewart to try and train you. It doesn't matter. If you don't listen
to
what they're saying and put it, like, and actually do it, dude, like, you could have, I don't know who would say, you could have any random guy train you, and if you listen to him,
then you're gonna get something different out of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
What shoes are you into, by the way? What when you're the sneakerhead guy, what sort of shit are you buying up?
I'm a big Nike guy.
Okay.
I have about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I got 7 sets of Nike shoes.
And what Nikes are you into?
I got a set of Air Jordan 1s. I got a Air Jordan 1 Retro 4s, I think it is. I got a set of 2 sets of Nike shoes. I got 2 sets of Alley-oops. And then I got a Supreme Air Force 1.
Damn, boy.
That's just hard. So much, too. I got some other ones at home. I have Red Huaraches. I got another set of Jordan 1s, like a Phantom 1. I got 2 sets of Nike Blazers. I got heaps of shoes. And I don't know if you've seen my live, but I made a bet with Mertz with thing, which I've already lost one. I said if I get 3 wins, he would buy me these shoes that cost $2,000, these off-white ones, which are, like, sick.
Oh, that's sick.
But if I win one, I'll get off-white Blazers Halloween version, which is pretty sick. But yeah, I'll win one and either two podiums or something, but which
you blew
ain't
it.
Happening. So I just got to at least get one win.
The off-white stuff. I got a buddy who's like really into the whole sneaker deal, and I'm like starting to learn a little bit about it. And he's got some pretty dope off-white shoes.
Yeah, that's the only thing I don't have in my collection. I got a set of Supreme. I got Air Force Ones. I got a set of Retro Sixes. I think they're called Retro 13. Sorry, Air Jordan Retro 13. I got a set of Retro Fours. I got Nigers, I got Janowskis, I got Alley-Oops. I got two sets of Air Force Ones.
But yeah, you got a decent collection.
I don't have Off-White. Even my brother has two sets of Off-White shoes.
Yeah, your brother's a bit of a style cat.
He's like more of a modern like type of style, like really classy.
Yeah, he's got like that Hugo Boss style. You got like the streetwear style, you know?
Yeah, I'm more streetwear. He's more like business type of look. He's got two sets of Off-White shoes, which one Cynthia bought for him, and then the other sets are the Converse Off-White ones, which I was going to get them, but I'm like, I can't get the same.
Yeah, that's kind of hard, man. Me and my brother, we're pretty close in age, and we have that same thing. It's just like, he gets kind of dope shit, and I'm like, because we got pretty similar style, but you can't really do it, can you?
We're at the shops one time, and we seen this thing, and there was one left on the thing, but there was one on a mannequin. We're like, oh, that's sick, and I liked it. So I quickly grabbed it and ran to the cashier to pay for it. He's, oh, your dog. So then, and Johnny was with us. So Johnny and Hunter ended up taking that clothing off the mannequin that was there. And he ended up getting a 40% off on that shirt.
Oh, wow.
Where I paid full price. I was like, you've got to be dogging me right now. Are you kidding me?
Age comes experience, bro. You're just a pup in the game.
Dude, I thought I was like, oh, I totally got the win. But then he ended up getting 40% off. I'm like, no way. That's so gay. Sorry. So stupid.
No, I know what you mean, mate. So what's the... What do you think of the outdoors, bro? Are you riding all right in the old outdoors, or?
I mean, if I didn't, I'd be pretty embarrassed because I've been riding my whole life.
But how do you feel like with the outdoor season? Like, are you sort of in the same headspace with the Subi stuff that you're just gonna go out there and win?
Yeah, I'm pretty confident with that. So like, I feel like in outdoors, I have a good feeling that Hunter and I are going to be on the box at least a fair amount. I'm being like confident or cocky saying that we're going to be 1-2 the whole time. We're going to have bad ones, but I feel like we're definitely going to be both of them like main guys.
Have you thought much about standing on the podium with your brother and how cool that's going to feel?
No, I haven't. I thought it'd be sick. I think I have a few times. I thought it'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, that's got to be that kind of stuff, man. Like, when I think about you guys standing on the podium together in an outdoors, I mean, whether it's a 1-2 or a 2-3 or a 1, like, whatever kind of order it is, man, it's like, God, I'm just going to be so happy for your parents when that happens, because it's like, I mean, I don't know who the last set of brothers that stood on a podium together would be, man. Like, I don't even know like when that would have happened last. Yeah, I mean, probably the Martins I'm surely they would have been on the box together at some point, but I mean, it's definitely rare, man, to have two brothers on the podium on the same team, and I think that that's going to really symbolize something pretty special for your parents, man.
Yeah, because the Stuarts can't do Excel, like their age gap was pretty big.
Yeah, well, they never raced in the same class, right?
Yeah, by the time Malcolm went to 450, James was already retired.
Mm.
So, I don't really think the A-Marts, I think, have only been the real closest ones. So,
yeah.
No, it's definitely going to be a time to remember when that day happens, which is hopefully soon.
I just think it's going to be a really cool experience for your family. Like, I feel like after that sort of happens, it's, I don't know, it's kind of like, that seems like the, uh, like a nice chapter being closed on that.
Yeah.
Because there's so many years.
I think we'll definitely get a photo frame.
Oh, you'd have to for sure.
We'll definitely get that in a photo. Just on the wall. And then have both the trophies. Because we got, for my mum's birthday, you know that BG Creations?
Yeah, yeah.
They remember how you did one for Hunter and I?
Yeah.
We ended up getting that painted on a big kind of, what do you call it?
Like canvas. A canvas or whatever, yeah.
And gave that to mum on, was it either Mother's Day or her birthday? It was one of those. So, and she
such
loved
a sweetheart,
it.
We have
it hung up in the
house. Such a
Hunter
sweetheart.
Hunter mainly got sorted.
He's the logistics guy.
Yeah, I was like, oh yeah, tuck my name on that also.
That's awesome. Well, thanks Ace for coming on, bro. Really appreciate it, dude. It's been sick hanging. Do you just want to grab Hunter and just do like a little switcheroo? Is he down to just use that same iPad or?
Yeah. I think this has enough charge on it. Hold on. Yeah, it's got 80%, dude. The thing charges so fast.
You're the man, bro. I really appreciate it, eh?